Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 on the FM side in Richmond. And we're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can take us on the go with that Odyssey app wherever you are. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP basking in the Capitals, making it to the playoffs, winning their last two games and must wins there in the playoffs. But we'll continue our talk about the NFL draft, which is just now just 8 days away, with our pal Chris Russell, host of the Chris Russell Show on the Team 980, 1 to 4 p.m. What's up, Rooster?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. Yeah, I'm basking in that glow too, man. That was... I've been all over the Caps, obviously, down the stretch here, as I know you guys have been. I mean, just sweating out all of these games. And, last night you get a little bit of a break with the TJ Oshie goal and Torts pulling the empty net. And I knew they were going to do that because they had to win in regulation. And the Capitals were fortuitous, but they earned that. I mean, like anybody that thinks that they just, you know, waltzed in and got a lucky break from dumb coach is
they were they had to grind.
Oh,
yeah. And that whole game, they were, you could just tell they were spent from, you know, the Bruins game the night before. No
and,
rest
and the,
on
and the
road.
Lightning game too, Saturday afternoon, Cakesy. I mean, you know that. I mean, they had to work their ass off to win these games. And even though there's a low shot on goal total on Monday night, that doesn't mean that they didn't play hard along the boards and in the neutral zone and at the blue line and their short two defensemen. I mean, I don't know what this team is going to do. Guys, I don't know if any of us know. I mean, the Rangers, obviously, a tough matchup. But you know Laviolette. You know the team, right? They never – Mika Zibanejad always kills them, so I'm sure he'll have 18 goals in the series. But I think they have a shot of at least extending the series and making it interesting is how I would label it against the Rangers.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Put it this way, they're glad that they've got three or four nights off and they can just sleep.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
They need some rest. Yeah.
I need some rest, too.
Yeah. Rooster's always grinding.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always a grind.
I need a couple of nights off, too.
Now, real quick, before we get into the quarterbacks and preference, you had Tony Khan on your show, right?
Yeah.
And you mostly talked wrestling, but you got into his relationship with Josh Harris.
Yeah.
And the guy that they hired to be a senior vice president, right. Dave Gardy. Fill us in on that before we dive into the quarterback.
Yeah, so Tony Khan serves in a couple of different roles for anybody that doesn't know. He's the owner of the Jaguars along with his dad, Shad Khan. And he also owns, operates, is the GM, whatever, of AEW Wrestling, All Elite Wrestling, which is on TBS, TNT, and all that. So anyway, they had him on the show, they put him on the show, and just unsolicited at the beginning of the interview after I did the intro, he's like, hey, you guys hired my guy Dave Guardi, you know, like, oh, that's awesome. That's a, you know, great hire, whatever. And everybody can listen to it, you know, on the podcast and whatever. It's all over the place. It's on the wrestling dirt sheets and whatever. Oh, you guys hired, you know, Dave Guardi, awesome guy. He's the best. He's this, he's that. I'm so jealous, whatever. So this guy, Dave Guardi, who they hired on Monday, just comes with an impeccable, I mean, like, I haven't talked to anybody that, never mind, hates him or doesn't like him, but doesn't think the world of him. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, because you guys used to have him in studio. We all heard the same thing about Brian LaFemina when he came here in 2017.
Heard a lot of that. That's true.
Right? Exactly. Now, the difference is he was working for two Devils and and not New Jersey Devils.
Right.
No, you know, right. I mean, Guardi is working for a normal human being here in Josh Harris.
Devils.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the interview, for anybody that wants to listen, I just, you know, if you get pumped up about hearing about the Commanders making awesome hires and having awesome people running the show, he threw bouquets of praise at Josh Harris, who he called one of his best friends. So I guess they've been in meetings together at NFL owners and you know, meetings and all. And Tony does everything. I mean, the guy just does not sleep. Speaking of needing rest, the guy does not sleep. And I guess he'll have, like, NFL films trailing him back and forth over the next week and a half between the Jaguars draft room and all of his stuff with AEW, because it's a cool story. But, yeah, go check it out. It was a good interview, I think.
Russell, what do you make of I know that Danny – you know, Danny's always upset about things, but he doesn't really like that Josh is being involved in some of these, like, sit-downs, et cetera. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I heard that on the way home. Danny's, you know, I mean, I love Danny, but he's a nut job. You know, I'm just going to lay it out like that. I mean, you know, again, and I worked for the guy for 5 years, and Dan treated me fine, okay? But I was an overweight white guy.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, there was no like reason to have Dan or his henchmen treat me like they treated a lot of women and a lot of women employees.
Oh, right.
You know, Dan was nice to me when I worked, you know, when I worked there, right? So I didn't have the
same
problems.
You're one of the rare guys that had interaction with him.
Right. I didn't have the same, well, exactly, but I didn't have the same problems that everyone else did, right?
Sure.
But everyone knows how bad Dan was from a, you know, from a how he treated people.
He's a poor leader, poor owner. Obviously.
And his involvement in the football operation, right? So this is where I was going with it. It wasn't to toot my own horn. But remember the story, infamously, Jay Gruden would tell, oh, you know, Dan wasn't involved. We didn't see him for 3 months from the end of the season. And then in 2019, he hops off the yacht and he comes in and makes the pick.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's not Josh Harris. My understanding is, just my understanding, Josh Harris is... he did this at the combine. I didn't have any problem with him. He sat in on interviews with the quarterback specifically. I think he did ask a question or two along the way, maybe a question to each. I'm not sure exactly on that. I think he's doing essentially the same thing here. The owner has to be involved in a decision of this magnitude, if not for, hey, informed understanding, as much as, I'm the damn owner. I paid $6 billion for this.
Right.
You're right, I care.
Right.
I want the right guy. I want at least when you ask me for my input,
right.
Hey, man, I feel really good about Jaden Daniels.
As long as he's not a toxic owner,
exactly.
He should be in the loop on what's
happening. I think that sort of the dividing line is if he wants to, you know, chime in on personality and, you know, how fit and that sort of thing, fine. But I don't think they're asking him, you know, how he reads a safety or where his eyes are going. Right.
I mean, hopefully they're not, because
he
doesn't know and I don't know. Nobody knows except
for... Leave that to the football guys.
Exactly. I think he's just there, you know, to check a couple of boxes.
Or, and to learn.
And you just said it, EB, to learn. I mean, remember, he's an owner with the Jersey Devils and the Philadelphia, two very different sports.
Yeah.
You know, this is the NFL, baby. And, you know, he also has the rest of his ownership group to tell, hey, Magic, you know, this is kind of where they're thinking, and this is why they're thinking this. When Mark Eyne says, well, why are we thinking about, you know, Drake May? Well, this is why they're thinking about Drake May.
That's a long text thread, by the way. There's a lot of minority owners along with Harris.
I'd like to be on that text thread, Casey?
I'd like to be on it, too.
All right, Rooster, let's get your personal opinion as we talk to Chris Russell, host of The Chris Russell Show on the Team 980, 1 to 4 p.m. I feel like listening to you, you're a Drake May guy. Tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Oh, you were right. Yeah. You were right.
You and Jason Bishop.
Do you think he plays right away or he needs to sit?
I personally with him think he'll need to sit a little bit. And I know I was just reading before I hopped on with you guys, Richmond John, who's like the fifth junkie, right? I'm just teasing about that.
Rom would get upset about that one.
But I was just reading, you know, Richmond John. Oh, you know, you can't take somebody that needs to sit. Like, I don't know if he absolutely needs to sit, but I think he would strongly benefit from sitting. And I think certainly that was some of the idea, of course, in signing Marcus Mariota, even though I'm not a huge fan of that move, and trading Sam Howell. Again, not a big fan of that move. But that's okay. We can have reasonable disagreements. But yeah, I do think Drake May is a little bit raw in terms of the mechanics, in terms of the footwork, in terms of the pocket awareness, all that. I went back and I watched somebody had clipped together all of his sacks. I've seen, I think it's 8 games of his TV cut-ups. I'm not watching coaches' film or anything like that. I'm not being ridiculous, okay? I've watched 8 games of TV cut-ups, and now I've watched all of his sacks. You know, and there are some concerning things, guys, but to me, the top end level that I think he might be able to get to in 2 or 3 years, again, not right away, I'm finding it hard to ignore a 21.5. Remember, Jaden Daniels is 23.5 and played 5 years of college football. I know one was kind of shortened because of COVID. I got it. Drake May, he just hasn't played as much as Jaden Daniels. So the more you play, the more bullets you see, the more defenses you read. And, oh, by the way, they changed offensive coordinators and therefore sort of systems at North Carolina before last year. So he had to learn a new system. He had to play with losing one of his top receivers. His offensive line over the course of the year certainly got beat up, as most do. And, yeah, I know the ACC isn't the best, but you plug on that Clemson tape and North Carolina State tape at the end on the road, those are some ferocious defenses. And, sure, there are some worry signs there. I got it. And maybe Jaden Daniels' tape from last year is cleaner. But this isn't just about tape. This is also about personality. This is about all the different boxes that you check, and also, I think, a projection to the NFL. And I'd be surprised if Adam Peters is sitting there going, nope, you know what? Jaden Daniels' tape is better in 2023 than Drake May. That's how we're going to make this decision.
You alluded to the Mariota sign. I thought, if I understand you correctly, that was an indicator to you they might go May? Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, well, not specific to May, but yes, maybe that was the thinking from the standpoint of, I think they realized that they needed maybe somebody that they could trust a little bit more than Sam Howell. And they were clearly out on Sam Howell to start week one and maybe beyond week one, because we all think Jaden is ready, right? And I think Jaden is ready. But there's no guarantees that he's just going to waltz in, snap his finger, and pick up the system and be ready to go week one against whoever it is in mid-September, right? So now you have a backup option. Drake May, I'm pretty sure, not definitive, I'm pretty sure he's going to need some time. Talk to some people, and I think we're having J.J. McCarthy's quarterback coach, his personal quarterback's coach, on tomorrow. I've talked to some people that think J.J. McCarthy needs some time, even though a lot of people think he's pro-ready. So I think going with Mariota, who was with Brian Johnson in Philadelphia last year, and you know, again, I know everybody's got questions about Mariota, both performance-wise and what happened in Atlanta and all that stuff. I think what part of the thought process was, hey, if somebody has to play for 4 games, 6 games, 8 games, whatever, maybe it's longer. I don't know. Then we'd like to have Marcus Mariota more than, you know, Sam Howell, who way too often last year was deer in the headlights. And if that has to be the case, then that has to be the case. This is a draft pick. Even at number 2, guys, for the future and for the next however many years, not for 1 year, it's for the future.
So what's your vibe? Is your vibe is going to be May or Daniels?
Okay, so that's a great question, James. I said on the air yesterday, or I guess it was Monday, I'd like them to take Drake May. I wouldn't be upset at all if they took Jaden Daniels. I totally get it. I think they're going to take Daniels, but I would like them to take May. Is that straddling the fence enough for you guys?
Why do you think they're going to take Daniels?
I think because they're not going to be able to resist the temptation of him being the most pro-ready, one. the maturity and the progression that he made last year, and beyond just last year, but last year was a meteoric jump. You know, I guess he did this, I don't know, the kids play these video games and whatever. I don't do this
gamers
stuff, but I mean, I get AR or whatever it is that I guess he improved that way. I mean, you could see it, for God's sakes, watching him live on tape. You could see, but I'm telling you, just as much, just as many great throws. I didn't see a lot of tight window throws when I went back and watched a bunch of his games. I did not see that, and he is a majestic deep ball thrower. I did not, but those guys were wide open. Wide open.
Well, he's got two first-round picks he's throwing to there.
Yeah,
at LSU.
Right, exactly. But I didn't see
but
like.
So did Joe Burrow, and he turned out pretty good.
I know. I didn't see the 10 to 20 yard stuff in tight windows that he's going to have in the NFL. So maybe I could just be missing it, or he wasn't asked to do it because there weren't a lot of tight windows. That part I don't know yet.
And you see those type of throws from Drake May.
I see more of them from Drake May. I'm not saying he's perfectly accurate or consistent, JP, but I see more of them and more of an ability to go over the middle, again, in those tight NFL windows, or drop it in, you know, a bucket with tight coverage in the corner of the end zone. I mean, you know, I've seen so many of these guys, so many throws from these guys, and again, different. And again, I want to be careful. I'm not a scout, not a coach. I'm not watching to coaches film or anything like that. I'm just watching every throw I can get my hands on from all these internet guys that cut this stuff up because they have nothing better to do. And I'm just telling you that, to me, Drake May has not only a higher ceiling, but I think he'll ultimately be the healthier, better NFL quarterback by a slight margin. It's not a wide gap. And here's the other thing. I think Drake May stays healthier overall. I don't know how I know that, but I just, like, everybody talks about Jaden Daniels and his slender frame. I saw 4 car crashes, man. I've seen enough car crashes in my life to last a lifetime. I saw 4 car crashes just this year where that dude just runs into a 310-pound defensive lineman or defensive end and just gets obliterated. Just gets obliterated.
But in his defense, he does pop up.
He does, but EB, you know, I get up every morning. One morning I'm not going to get up, you know?
That's a good point.
That's when you're like 80, not when you're in your prime.
Rooster, real quick, because we don't have that much time.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do with the next 2 picks? All right? They have 36 and 40, right? What do you think they do there?
Ultimately, I think they'll be tempted to trade back into the first round, hopefully not giving up both of those, maybe a second and one of their 3/3. But if they just stay straight up at 36 and 40, they have to get a left tackle. And then the other position, we were doing this on the show with Doc yesterday, for me, is cornerback. Mm-hmm. For Doc, it was edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't think they did enough at cornerback to sit, you know, for me, over the offseason, to, you know, plus losing Kendall Fuller. Which I had no problem with. I didn't think they did enough at corner to make me feel good about this team going through.
When do you want them to draft a receiver?
It's a great question. Before the end of the 3rd round. I mean, it's a deep wide receiver class, but you also need a wide receiver. You also need a tight end, right? I mean, somebody like Jatavion Sanders from Texas, who, you know, was mocked to them by Kuiper the other day, going at the 100 pick. I mean, if they could walk away, they're the kid from Michigan. If they could somehow get them in the 3rd round, which is what they were mocked by, again, Kuiper and Field Yates. I mean, that's a home run, slam dunk.
Well, we're almost a week away. Almost.
8 days.
Thank
you.
8
days.
Then what do we talk about? Unless the Caps go on a Stanley Cup run like they did in 2018.
Hey, at least we got the Caps. Life. Hey, that's a good transition for us, Chris Russell, because we're going to talk Caps next. Thank you, pal.
Love you guys.
Thank you, Rooster.
What we're going to get into next is, how much of a chance do you give the Caps to go on a run? Can they go on a run? What are your expectations now that they are in the playoffs? We're happy they're there, But what's next? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next on the Caps as they are in the playoffs. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
All right, Cap.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Capitals came up big in the last two games of the season, took care of business at home against the Bruins, went into Philadelphia last night, took care of business.
Don't forget the Lightning game, the 1-3 straight.
You want to go further back? Sure. Yeah,
it was a big one.
But in particular, the last two nights, biggest games of the year, they came up big. Lindgren leads them into the playoffs. They got a goal from Ovi last night, an empty netter from Oshie because the Flyers had to get a regulation win. They advanced to the playoffs. So what's next? They face the New York Rangers and Peter Laviolette as the head coach, the former Caps coach. The Rangers had a ton of points this year. We mentioned before, Panarin led the team with 49 goals.
Mm-hmm. 55 wins on the season for
the
Rangers.
They can score some goals. What are your expectations for this Caps team? We mentioned this earlier. Eight seeds in NHL. They have some success. They've even won, gone on to win the whole thing. Let's just focus on this round. I think they definitely can make it competitive. They have the red-hot goalie. They had some success against the Rangers here. Played them four times, won the home games, and Lindgren in three starts only gave up three goals.
They can get hot. I mean, they're the epitome of hot, other than not really scoring the goals.
Right.
Well, they're going to have to win low-scoring games. And Cakes mentioned Carberry's record in one-goal games, or the one-goal wins. Was it 20-plus?
20 wins in one-goal games. I believe that's
correct. How they're going to have to win games.
The Dale Hunter formula.
Believe me, I've been thinking about it. Give him a phone call. Hey, what's not to love? This is what we're doing.
Some of the least aesthetically pleasing hockey.
Do you like winning?
I do like winning.
Right, and isn't that the formula?
I am a fan of winning.
Hit him up for a consultant call.
I think Carberry doesn't need an extra consultant. He kind of knows what he's doing.
Carb's doing all
Carberry, we talked about it.
I just like Dale.
Before the season, when we actually met with Coach Carberry, and I can't remember who else sat down with us. I think Darcy Kuemper sat down with us.
And Nick Dowd.
I stared into Darcy Kuemper's light blue eyes. I was mesmerized. He's like the nicest guy ever. I feel bad that he's been usurped by Chucky,
I love Carbs, by the way.
Love him, too.
But we talked about it before the season when we sat down, even that day.
I would actually kiss his bald head.
We said they have to thread the needle this year. And threading the needle was they have the old guys, and they're trying to infuse some young guys. So it's going to be a long shot to make the playoffs.
Hey, can you play the clip in the locker room again for people?
Yeah, play that.
Because we played
it
earlier.
I love all the F-bombs. I love it. Wish I could say them right now.
I mean, the general manager looked at this team at the trade deadline and said, we're sellers. We're selling off any guys whose contracts are up at the end of the year that we don't have plans on retaining. Guys like Mantha. He traded Cousy. He said, this team is not built for this year. I'm going to get what I can.
Wow. Wow, what a moment. And you guys, I'm so f***ing proud of this group. This group was counted out months ago. They won't be able to achieve this. No, that's it. They're done. No, they're not going to be able to make it to the playoffs and be a playoff team. And what this team and the character inside this room, what it continued to do day after day after day, A, came to work, put their hard hats on, whether it was practice, whether it was film, but B, showed up every night on the road out west. We have a tough night. The next night we would fight and respond and find a way to win hockey games, no matter what anybody outside this room said. I'm so proud of this group. Congratulations.
Personally, I don't trust a coach on any level, high school and up, that doesn't use profanity.
But Gibbs didn't.
If you, okay, he's an ex.
Dungy might not have.
All right, these are great exceptions.
Those are Super Bowl winners.
My rule is, if you're a coach, if you're a leader of men, you gotta drop F bombs. Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to work exclusively in it.
What about if you're just a dad and you're angry and you're stomping around your house?
That's acceptable too, as long as the kids aren't super young and impressionable. But like, I remember
it depends on what the offense is.
I remember going to like my kids' high school lax games, and the coaches are you can hear them cursing at the kids sometimes in practice and or games. And my wife's doing like pearl clutching, and I'm like, it's okay. They're high schoolers. They hear it all the time. It's all good.
They're toughening them up.
I need a coach that curses. Another tick for old Coach Barnes.
All right, Cakes, to answer the question, though, what are your expectations for this Caps team? Here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the Caps percent chance of advancing at 48%. Oh, I think they have a good chance.
Is he an insane person?
I'm going way under that.
Here's
it's 20%. It's a coin flip?
I think it's 20%.
First of all,
why is that insane?
My expectations are
they
very low.
They split the season series.
I'm not saying it's impossible. I think that percentage is too high. Based on the history of 8 seeds versus 1 seed.
If they play this series 10 times, they might win it 3 times.
How many times has an 8 seed beaten a 1 seed in the NHL playoffs?
I don't know.
It certainly happens. In the first round?
It certainly happens. But
well, that's the only time they would play
them. This is weird that I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you a poker analogy, JP. The Capitals are pocket sixes pre-flop. Against the Rangers, they're pocket kings. We need to spike a six on the flop. The Caps are 20% at best, in my opinion, in my noted hockey opinion, to advance past the Rangers. I can't put them up in the 40% range.
Now, it happened last year.
Against the one seed?
Because Florida beat Boston last year.
I would love for them to advance, but I'm keeping my expectations muted. I'm just happy they qualified for the playoffs after the wild season that they endured. So to me, anything that happens post last night, gravy. It's just gravy for me.
That's how I'm looking at it.
I'm not going to be ranting and raving if the Caps get dispatched in 5 games. I'll just chalk it up to they faced a 1 seed. They're flawed. They can't score a lot. And they got hot toward the end of the season and were able to make their way into the playoffs.
Oh, you mentioned it last year. So last year it happened. Mm-hmm. So 50% of the 8 versus 1 went to the 8.
Mm-hmm.
2019 it happened. Yep. Blue Jackets over the Lightning. Also, Avalanche over the Flames. So both of those series in 2019 went to the 8 seed. 2017, Predators over Blackhawks. 2012, Kings over Canucks. 2010, Canadians over Capitals. It happens fairly frequently. I don't have the exact percentage here. I just have a Reddit thread.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's 48%. That's all I'm saying.
No, but I'm going to go with 48%.
Based on this team.
Because they've played each other 4 times this year.
Right, and they split. I don't know.
Lindgren has won 2 out of 3 against them and only given up 3 goals. And he's playing good hockey right now. They're playing good hockey.
I hope you're right. I hope your near 50% prediction is correct.
I don't think the Rangers are just going to wipe them out.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a tight series.
I think it's going to be
I don't think it's
going to
be shut out. I don't think it's going to be sweepy.
I bet the unders.
I don't think it's going to be 4-1. I think it'll be 4-2, maybe even 7 games.
For it to be a high-scoring series, obviously you would think, like from the Caps perspective, you would think Ovi would have to be involved, right?
Definitely.
Stromer would have to be involved. Who else? Who else could fill the back of the net?
Well, McMichael. You'd love to see McMichael.
How many did he have this year?
He had, I think, 17. He ended
with. So he's our third leading scorer?
Well, that would have been Mantha. Mantha got shipped out when he had 20.
I mean, Carlson can score from the D spot.
He's got 10.
But that's, rely on that.
But they're not loaded with big-time goal scorers.
I'm just saying, who are their goal scorers? It's Stromer and Ovi.
And McMichael,
They spread it out.
I think we need a little more.
I agree.
I mean, Tom Wilson at 18.
But they are who they are.
If you want to know who scored for him this year, Mantha.
Give me the
Wilson
order
at 18.
Of guys on the roster, not old guys.
Yeah,
not
Wilson's third with 18.
Yeah.
McMichael also had 18. Milano 15. And then you're getting down to the
Milano's
nubs.
Had a little bit of an uptick because he missed a bunch
had
of games.
12.
Yeah.
So Milano could also be that guy that could be a scoring.
So those are your top 3. Ovi, Stromer,
and I
Willie.
Feel like Oshie will he'll step up in the playoffs. His coverage. You know what I mean? He's gonna play above his head.
Yeah.
A little bit. He's just a big game.
They're
player.
Gonna have to win 2-1 games. They're gonna have to win games like they did last night.
Yeah, but I wanna have before. The ability to get to 4 if we need it.
And Chucky's gonna have to have a dozen or more amazing saves throughout the series to keep them in the game. He had a left pad save yesterday on a point blank chance that I don't know how the Flyers player didn't just lift it over his pad, but mm-hmm. he just got just enough on it to keep it out of the net.
And I don't know anything about the Rangers besides the fact that they're in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's what I know.
They play at Madison Square Garden. They play at the Garden. That. Yeah,
but, and I don't know if Valley. Maybe you can pull like their play-by-play guy later in the week. But I want to know what their strengths and weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm. All right,
how can we take advantage of that?
Let's go to James. James, what's up, buddy? What do you think?
Hey, Junks, how y'all doing?
Hey, James. Look,
I'm an old-time D.C. resident, born and raised. The Caps have always lived off of defense. We have always been a defensive team. During the championship year, we were offensive. But Goldie and defense wins for us. That's what we were brought up on.
Well, we're going to have to do it again.
it's kind of the blueprint for Coach Carberry right now.
Yeah.
Is like because the offense is stalled and it's not consistent and they're amongst the lowest goal scoring teams in the league.
I don't think he wants to be that way.
He wants
some firepower, but he just doesn't have it.
He'd love to score three and a half goals a night on average.
They score 2 goals a game. I just looked at the month of April, EB.
Yeah.
They played 9 games in the month of April.
Right.
Total
they
goals.
Did score 4 goals in one of those games.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Every other game was 2 goals or less. They averaged 2.1 goals per game.
I don't think you can win with only scoring 2 goals a game.
It's tough. It's very difficult.
Especially in the playoffs.
I'm not trying. Listen.
So what's your percent chance? He's at 20%. I'm at 48.
I said like 25-30. That's what I think.
25-30. Jason, give me a percentage for the Caps to advance.
To advance? 3%.
3%. Well, you know what? You gave them 0% to make the playoffs several weeks ago.
I hope I'm wrong.
I'm not shocked that the eternal optimist is close to 50% in JP.
Well, he thinks he's going to live to 120. Yeah. Let's go to Ian.
88.
Ian. Ian. I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. I'm sorry.
No problem. It's Ian.
Ian.
I give the team probably a 10% chance, and here's why. I think they spent so much of their energy getting to the playoffs. I think making the playoffs feels like the win for them. We've seen in sports 1,000 times when a team's so far back, they spend so much energy tying the game and feeling like they accomplished it.
Big
and then
letdown.
The front runner just comes ahead.
I don't think Carbs is going to let them have that sort of letdown. Now, do they struggle to score goals? Yes, but I think Carbs he's just so dynamic and connects with that team. I mean, you see it in the locker room. You hear it from the audio. He's not going to let them against New York.
I mean, we could say the same thing for many pass coaches that are so dynamic. At some point, it's on the players. I don't think the odds are of who's going to win is based on Carbs versus Laviolette. Like, to me, that's just not it. I think it's who's playing better and who's the better team. And, I mean, for Washington to even make it, they had to beat Tampa Bay, Boston, Philly in a row. I mean, that takes a lot out of a team. And I know some people would say, well, that's positive momentum going into the game. I just don't know. And even if it wasn't the President's Cup trophy winner in New York, even if it was, say, a 2 seed, I think it just took a lot for them to even get here.
I just looked at the last 8 games for the Rangers. So they only played 8 games in April compared to the 9 for the Capitals. They average a goal a game more. So you do have to thread the needle. There's a team that's averaging 3.1 goals per game and a team that averages 2.1 goals per game just using the last month.
Mm-hmm.
Let's forget about the whole season because the whole season changes. That's also one thing that changes when you look at past history. I've pointed to the past history. Well, Caps seems quite different than it was in November and December than what it is now. Same thing for the Rangers. I still like Lindgren having some success against his team, winning 2 out of 3.
All right, you want to take some more calls? We got some people lined up that still want to chime in on 800-636-1067. Don't forget, we've got Mike Rizzo coming on at 9 o'clock.
All right, we got what we wanted. Caps are in the playoffs, 2-1 winners against the Flyers last night in Philadelphia. That means they advance to the playoffs. We don't know the schedule yet, but they'll be taking on the Rangers, the one seed that had over 100 points. They've got the ex-Capitals head coach, our buddy Coach Peter Laviolette. Do you like their chances in the playoffs to go on a little run and against the Rangers? Who's up first?
All right, let's go to Dennis in Glen Burnie. Hey, Dennis.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up? Good.
I actually think they have a good chance. From watching these guys that came from the Calder Cup playoffs, Calder Cup, they actually weren't afraid, and they came – and they showed up, and they won. And those same guys, McMichaels and Protas, and this, they're there. And I think Ovi is actually getting used to playing with another guy. He missed his buddy Backstrom. But I think he's finally gotten into where he's adapted to that. And I really actually believe they're not afraid. I didn't think you were even going to make it. And I mean, I was one that was eating crow at the end of the year. Last night I was just some because they don't give up. Yeah. They're not afraid to keep coming at you. And I just think that the young boys that came up from Hershey, like when they played in the Calder Cup, they weren't expected to win that. And they came out. And I mean, to the last man, they guys were scoring it. I didn't think would score, and I think that's going to happen again. I mean, I'm hoping it happens again. Mm-hmm. Do they get past the rank? I think they can. If I was a betting man, I'd be there with Jason and say, well, you know, and everybody else. I'm just happy they made it.
Yeah.
But I think they have a legitimate chance. I think people. You know, they've matured a lot since the beginning of the year. My God, they've matured a lot. And again, those young guys that they brought up from Hershey, they're not rookies anymore. They played the way they played in the Calder Cup. And if they continue that kind of attitude, I think they can go pay. I think the Rangers are going to overlook them.
All right.
And
I like that.
I don't know if Coach Lav.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know if Coach Lav is going to overlook the Caps.
I know they're professionals, but there is something to be said that all of the pressure is on the Rangers.
Totally.
100%.
1,000% of the pressure is on them.
And they know that, yeah.
They know that. Not saying they're going to be tight or anything like that, but that is something to consider.
Well, especially as the series goes on.
All of a sudden you steal a game. And then all of a sudden, that pressure just
momentum swing.
And that's your only goal as a visitor. Yeah. Just get one game at Madison Square Garden, and then flipped home.
Not even the first game. But if you go up 1-0 right. early,
you're going to get in their heads. Start living in their heads.
I think there's something to it.
By the way, Ovi in 73 regular season career games against the Rangers, 42 goals, 25 assists. He's near a point per game clip. Against the Rangers.
All right, let's go to Matt calling from K-Town. Hey, Matt.
What's up, Matt?
Matt, what street do you live on?
Every time I call in, EB, you tell me that I'm on the nubby side of Kensington, so I don't think it really counts. I'm down by the Pike.
Where is he?
Down by Rockville Pike, I guess?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I'm on the white one side, EB. I'm on the side you make fun of.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, deservedly so.
You're on the wrong side of the tracks, my friend.
I agree.
Yeah. You're not in the silly part. That's okay.
You know what? Work a little harder.
Yeah, work a little harder. You know.
I'm still young, boys. I'll get there.
All right.
Hey, so
just don't come into my neighborhood.
I wanted to call.
Go ahead.
So I'm not giving them much of a chance, but I think that's okay. Because the bigger focus this year, you got young guys, you know, Protas, McMichael, LaPierre, Strome, Ioria, and Alexiev, who have never been in the playoffs. So the whole idea is get them the exposure, get them that experience for the future and build on it. The other side is I heard you guys just mentioning you don't really know much about the Rangers, so I thought I'd give you like the 20-second.
Yeah, give us a primer.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Defenseman that you're going to hate by the end of the series, Trouba. He's one of the hardest hitters in the league. He's a stud. Keandre Miller, Adam Fox are both top pairing defensemen as well. So they've got an embarrassment of young riches there. Their top six forwards, Zibanejad, Blake Wheeler, Panarin, who you already mentioned, Lafreniere, Brzezinski. I mean, they've got so much firepower. The Caps might be able to compete with their top six, but the bottom six is going to be where they're going to struggle. You have Jimmy Vesey, who was a stud coming out of college. Alex Wenberg is down there. Chris Kreider is kind of in the middle. Barclay Goodrow, you're going to hate by the end of the series. And if he gets a sweater, the guy you're really going to hate is Matt Rempe. He's kind of the new Tom Wilson of the league. You combine that with their goaltending. Shesterkin is one of the best young goaltenders on earth. And even if he struggles, they've got Jonathan Quick, two-time Cup winner, Olympian, who's been having a heck of a year. So the Cards are really stacked against the Caps, but I don't see that as a problem. Try to win a game or two, get the young guys as much experience as you can, get the next wave of guys going so that they're prepared moving forward for the next year.
All right, I like it. Right. Hey, real quick, you don't live near Lohman's Plaza, do you?
No, I do not.
All right, I was going to say that's basically hell right there. All right. All right, see you,
buddy. I'm sure it's Compton.
Right. Kensington snob.
What's the name of it?
It's just I'm just being stupid. All right, let's go to Edwin in Hartford. Edwin, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on?
What's up, Edward?
Look, I just wanted to say this. Number one, look, I'm with you, John. Actually, I'm going to give him 50%. I'm going to go a tick higher. Here's why. I really, really, really like the way they play defense because if you look at against Tampa, Boston, and against Philly, when this team is on with defense, it sucks for the opposing team. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah, I remember the Boston game specifically. Like, they just couldn't get
any shots on
Chucky. I think they had 8 shots in the first 40 minutes of the game on goal. Like, they were completely shut down by whatever, you know, Coach Carbs came up with the game plan. If he can replicate that throughout the playoffs, then I like their chances. Well, I just don't know if you're going to hold teams with a lot of firepower like the Rangers to 2 goals per game.
Valdez, here's another reason why they're going to feel pressure. They haven't won a Stanley Cup in 30 years.
The Rangers.
They haven't won since 1994, right?
Messier. Yeah.
So, I mean, and they've had some pretty good teams. I mean, they've been to conference finals. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've been to a Stanley Cup final since then, but I'd have to go back and look. But I know they haven't won since 1994. So there's a lot of pressure on Coach Lav and those players to finally win a cup.
I think you could, honestly, the more you think about it and talk about it, the more you could talk yourself into it.
48% into the upset. Is mine. Where are you at, Valdez? If you have to assign a percentage right now.
Right now?
I'm going to guess 35%.
Right now, I'm at 35%, but it seems like with each segment we do, it's climbing by another 5%.
Optimism is starting to ratchet up.
Well, it's funny how momentum changes in these series, right? Like, you feel remarkably different based
each period, it feels like.
Yep. Yeah. All right, coming up next, we will talk some Nationals. Their GM, President of Baseball Operations, Mike Rizzo, joins us every Wednesday at 9 o'clock here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.